scripture this morning comes to us from Isaiah 63, 7 and 9, and then from Matthew 2, 13 through 23. Starting with prophecy with Isaiah 63, 7 through 9. Here are these words then from Isaiah. Isaiah has been with us throughout our series. And this prophet knows when the people need some challenge and when they need God's comforting message. And in this week, we hear the prophet proclaiming the steadfast love and compassion of the Holy One who is always with them. I will recount the Lord's faithful acts. I will sing the Lord's praises because of all the Lord did for us, for God's great favor toward the house of Israel. God treated them compassionately and with deep affection. God said, "Truly, they are my people, children who won't do what is wrong." God became their Savior. During all their distress, God also was distressed, so a messenger who served him saved them. In love and mercy, God redeemed them, lifting and carrying them throughout earlier times. The story continues after the birth of Jesus, as we hear of the wise scholars, the Magi, from the east coming, telling Herod they were searching for the king that had just been born, visiting and gifting the Holy Family, and then moving on. Matthew tells us what happened next. After the scholars were gone, God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and commanded, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child and wants to kill him." Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under the cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. This Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea had preached. "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod, when he realized that the scholars had tricked him, flew into a rage. He commanded the murder of every little boy, 2 years old and under, who lived in Bethlehem and its surrounding hills. He determined that age from information he'd gotten from the scholars. That's when Jeremiah's sermon was fulfilled. A sound was heard in Ramah, weeping and much lament. Rachel weeping of her children, Rachel refusing all solace, her children gone, dead and buried. Later, when Herod died, God's angel appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Take the child and his mother and return to Israel. All those out to murder the child are dead." Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother, and re-entered Israel. When he heard, though, that Archelaus had succeeded his father, Herod, as king in Judea, he was afraid to go there. But then Joseph was directed in a dream to go to the hills of Galilee. On arrival, he settled in the village of Nazareth. This move was a fulfillment of the prophetic words, "He shall be called a Nazarene." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, We thank you today that not only we hear the words of prophecy being fulfilled, but we still hear of your word today. Fulfill our hearts today, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds so that we may hear your voice in spite of my own. Strengthen my voice so that we may hear yours. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Words of his wonder, compassion, and joy. It isn't often that a text invites us to stop and think about the kindness of God. This morning's reading from Isaiah does just that. It also invites us to consider the compassion and the empathy that God has for us. Kindness, compassion, and empathy are words that often show up in the realm of psychology and or perhaps maybe even self-help. They seem like human words or maybe even human attributes. But today we are reminded that these words, are also being told of God. And we can be very grateful and thankful that this is a reminder from Isaiah and is set against the story of Mary and Joseph and the baby fleeing to Egypt as Herod orders the death of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but he enters into this time period where he calls for the death of innocent children. Now, most people think Christmas is over, but Christmas has just begun. Now, Christmas is the shortest season in the Christian year. And then, yes, it is a season. It is not just a day. It is a season that consists of 12 days. And it starts on Christmas Day. And it goes all the way to the Epiphany. In other words, it goes all the way to January 6th. Did you ever hear the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? Well, that is to remind us that it is a season and it is a celebration. And if you were in other parts of the world, your celebrating would just be getting started. In fact, in Advent, it's a time of fasting. It's a time of preparing your heart. It's much like Lent, where it's a time of darkness. It's a time of quiet reflection. A lot of churches have no flowers on the altar. A lot of churches have no Christmas songs at all during the time of Advent. Now think about that. Think about that time of preparation. When I was a child, we had a live Christmas tree because, well, it was just too expensive to have an artificial tree. And you could go out into any woods anywhere and cut down a tree and bring it home. And you only had to keep it watered for a few days, a couple weeks at most, right? And for the most part, those were free. Think about all of the joy in preparing for Christmas. And maybe even as a child, factories even shut down. And you took the time to visit each other. And you took the time to go to families. I remember during the time I was a child, my dad worked at the glass plant in Brockway. And the glass plant, believe it or not, would even shut down, even the hot end. Now, the hot end is where the molten glass would be formed. That's where the sand would be poured into the great big tanks and melted before it would be poured into molds and made into bottles. At this time of the year, this is when they would shut it down. They would, sometimes some people would stay afterwards and work on those pieces of the plant. But most of the people would have that time off. It was a special time of the year. It was a time that we got to actually be all together. It was a time where we would sit around as a family. It was almost Norman Rockwell-ish in my mind, if you could have such a time. We would play games, and Mom would make special foods. Grandma would make special foods. And I remember the aunts would get together, and there would be hardtack, and there would be peanut brittle. Yeah, I see some of you nodding now, right? There would be nut rolls, and there would be poppy seed rolls. And I lived in a very ethnic type of an area, so there would be different kinds of foods too. I even had somebody mention to me that there would be halushkis, and there would be, and I also lived close to where there were a lot of Italian people, so there would be the seven fishes and all kinds of different things, pierogies, all kinds of smells would be coming from different houses. But on that first Christmas, in those first few years, we of course know that the baby Jesus wouldn't always be staying in a stable. Eventually, they would find a roof over their head that wasn't a stable. And eventually, the Magi would come. And we know that Herod was evil. And a jealous kind of evil. And because the angel had warned the Magi, they didn't go back to Herod. And because Gabriel had warned Joseph, he got Mary and Jesus out of Dodge. Out of Bethlehem. And he took them to Egypt, out of Herod's grasp. And there they stayed for years. They feel that it was about 5 years. And then there was a genocide. Thousands upon thousands of little boys were killed. Hebrew boys, 2 years and under, were killed again. Very much like the time of the Passover, before the Passover. Do you remember when Ramsey was having all those little boys killed? And Moses was saved in the basket. Does that ring a bell? History repeated itself again. Funny how history repeats itself in this area over and over and over again. And we don't seem to learn as human beings. We're bent on doing evil to each other. And yet we're called. We're called by Jesus Christ to love. And to do it with joy. And if there weren't people along the way that didn't welcome Mary and Joseph and the Christ child in and had compassion on them on the way, what would their story have looked like? Well, we know that the Christ child grew up to be a man. A man that would save all of us. A man who had compassion for you and for me. And let's face it, not one of us have had sparkling reputations or have had sparkling lives, for we too are sinners. And that's why he has come into this world, to save you and me from ourselves, to save all of humankind from ourselves. He had compassion for us and has compassion for us today. What does it look like for us today to emulate him today? What does it look like today to offer a seat to somebody, or a meal, or a roof? What does it look like today to offer shelter for somebody while mom and dad works, or a nice cushioned pew while we worship? There's all kinds of ways to show compassion or hospitality. I think about even the tissues that are here in the pews, because sometimes there are tears, or even just a sneeze, right? And it's a way of showing love. There's all kinds of ways to show love and compassion. And in this week, we show so many ways of love and compassion, but it shouldn't just be this week. It shouldn't just be Christmas. It should be every week. This church, I know, does just that. The doors are open almost every day, where there are meetings here, where you can come to any of the groups for sobriety, where you can come to groups where you can have childcare, get a hot meal, and you can even worship on Sundays. Or you can come and just sit here and contemplate the Lord in the quietness and the stillness of the room. What does this church and what does God mean to you? And what does the compassion of Jesus Christ mean to you? Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you today for obedient parents like Mary and Joseph, where their struggle was real. While they gathered everything up, not only once, not twice, but three times, and went on the road . Lord, I pray that when you call us, that we are just as obedient. And when somebody knocks at our door or our heart, we too show the love and the compassion that had to have been shown to this couple as well. and this child. I'm reminded when Jesus said to his disciples that when we feed the prisoner, when we feed the stranger, when we clothe the naked, we do it for him. Give us that kind of heart, Lord. Give us that compassionate heart that's full of joy and love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.